I'll take you back all the way to the beginning of mankind, creation. In 6 days, God created all that you see right here. And when he was done, the last verse in Genesis 1, he said, it is very good. Now, how many understand when God says something is very good? Oh, it is very good. There's one tree. One tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he told Adam and Eve, don't eat from that. All the others you could eat from, all the others you could enjoy, all the others you could cultivate, not that. Now, in our human minds, what would we think? God's keeping something from us. Why would he deny it? I mean, it was a beautiful tree, probably the prettiest tree, the most bountiful tree in the garden. And in our minds, we would not say, well, there must be something God knows about that tree that he wants me to stay away from. He loves me so much that he tells me not to do that, to stay away from it. Why was the tree there? Because mankind was given the ability to choose, and we must be able to have that ability to choose right from wrong. So there it is. Now notice, in the perfection of the garden, here's that temptation, right there. And somewhere along the line, we don't have a time frame, the enemy came, Satan came in the form of the serpent to Eve and planted a seed within her mind. Planted a seed. Genesis chapter 3, 4 and 5. The serpent said, did you ever see that tree over there, Eve? Yeah, we're not even supposed to touch it. Great. I can hear Adam say, I don't know what's going on with that tree. God told us not to eat from it. If I was you, I wouldn't even touch the thing. That's what I would have said. Satan said to her, you will surely not die. God says this. You will surely not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Read between the lines. Okay? What's the serpent saying or insinuating or implying? God is holding out on you. There's a greater blessing he's keeping from you. You're not complete. You didn't experience this. I'm here to lead you to a more satisfying and fulfilling life. Can you see that question floating around in Eve's mind? Can you see? All of a sudden, in the perfection of the garden, she's saying, I'm not enough. This place is not enough for me. I need more. Can I really trust God? Can I really trust Him? She begins to justify her sinfulness, her mistrust of God's command. Verse 3, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Can you see what's going on here? She is justifying the act that she wants to do. We do that today, don't we? Most of the time, we will find somebody that agrees with us, no matter what it is, and ask them their opinion, knowing that it's going to be what I want to do. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And here we find Eve leaning on her own. Her understanding is limited. And it's subject to Satan's influence, just like us. And eventually rebelled against God. This is where we find Jesus this morning. With Satan asking him the exact same question. Can you trust your heavenly Father? Can you really trust him, Jesus? Now we understand that he's been fasting for 40 days, he become hungry, he's weak, maybe fuzzy-minded, who knows? But he's struggling physically. How can you be sure? Can you hear Satan say that to him? You need to test that connection of your relationship to make sure it's solid. You need to test him, Jesus. And that may be the same question being asked of you this morning. Is God worth your trust? Is he worth your trust? Matthew chapter 4, 5 through 7, where we'll be today. Then the devil took him, that's Jesus, to the holy city. Notice he took him right to the place of religion, the highest place of religion in the Jewish nation. and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, notice he said, if. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. True verse. That's in Psalms. He didn't misquote it, but he did misuse it. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord God to your test. What is Jesus saying? I trust my Heavenly Father. Even in my weakness, Father, thank you for the example that Jesus leaves us this morning. And I pray that we be looking at our lives and seeing where there's any rebellion within our lives. Seeing if there's any area that we want to be the Lord and Master of rather than you. And see that you are worthy of our trust. Thank you now for your glory alone. Amen. As I said last week, Jesus is being authenticated. Much like a lamb brought for sacrifice, it would have to be checked out to make sure that it was a perfect lamb. That's what's going on here. Does Jesus really have the power and stamina and grit to stand up to all that Satan will throw at him? Will Jesus be able to succeed? For Adam and Eve did not, and the nation of Israel did not. They stumbled along the way. Can he really sustain that? Can we look to him for strength when we don't have it? Can I really place every ounce of my trust on him? When everything in my life is wrong, from my perspective, when nothing seems to be right, the chaos, can I just simply trust him with all that? Last week, the question was posed to Satan. Does you should take control of your life and satisfy the screaming need your body is craving? Just do it yourself. Jesus said, no, my Heavenly Father is worth my life. The question this week, can you really trust your Heavenly Father, Jesus? Can you really trust him? Do you need to prove to yourself your Heavenly Father will be there for you? When you go to the cross, Jesus, a legion of demons within him. I'm sure he's going to be there for you. Test his love for you, Jesus. That's what he's hearing in his ear. Maybe you should put out a fleece like Gideon, Jesus. Not a big one, just a small one. There's three things for this. I want you to know that just like Jesus, your trust in God must be tested and tried and shown to be. Someone else may have all the trust in Jesus that they can't. I mean, nothing fazes them. And you can look at them and you can be encouraged by them. But it's to you. To you. You must answer this question. It's necessary to have all the head knowledge of God. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, in the lives of others, his character that we have seen. But until you depend on God's character, his promise, his scriptures, folks, it's still just hope. It's still just knowledge floating around up in your mind. It has not been tested. The testing of your faith is a recurring theme in Scripture. Hardships, that's what God uses. Okay? I'd love to be able to tell you it's at our ease that we learn all of this. We don't. We get rebellious and selfish in our ease. God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. In the middle of persecutions like we cannot imagine today or understand, Peter writes a congregation, these trials only test your faith. Strong and pure. God tested Abraham over and over and over again. Tested him, bringing himself out of the country that he was in. promised him to be a, he would make him a great nation, but Abraham did not have a child. Abraham got stuck a little while in Haran, which we do at times in our Christian walk. He come, and God says, I'm going to bless you like you can't believe. And Abraham complained, I don't care what you give me. I got no one to give my inheritance to. I don't have a child. And it's going to be given to my servant, my trusted servant. God says, no, no, I'm going to give you a child. Abraham's life. Along the way, they said, I think God needs some help. And Sarah said, here, take my handmaid. Maybe you can get a... And he did. He got a son through a handmaid, and his name was Ishmael. We're still struggling with that today. And then finally, he got the child promised, Isaac. What a marvelous child this is. And somewhere along the line, God says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice that child. The next day, a couple servants to go be obedient to God's command. Now, how could Abraham trust God like that? How could he do that? See, he was holding on to the promise. This child is the promise that God has given me. From this child will come a great nation. From this child will come other children. I'm not sure what's going to happen on the mount, but if I happen to sacrifice him, God's either going to resurrect him again or he's going to stop. I don't know, but I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to be obedient to God. He tested Joseph. He gave Joseph a vision twice. Your mom and dad and your brothers are going to bow down to you twice. And Joseph was, man, this is a marvelous, marvelous. What do you mean? I'm now a slave in an Egyptian household. Where's the promise, God? Tested. Job endured immense suffering and loss when Satan tested him. Peter publicly denied knowing Jesus three times. You trust me. You see Peter afterwards going, I trust you, Jesus. I don't know why you went to the cross at this point, but I trust you. Paul was tested so many times, he probably lost track of the number. That's what I did. And we read here, Jesus' trust was tested to see if it was true. True. Do you really have the trust necessary, Jesus, to fulfill your Heavenly Father's will? Do you really have that? When those times of chaos, he's going to point to you and say, do you really have the trust necessary to trust your God? Are you just going to throw up your hands and go, what's the use? Are you going to take are you going to separate yourself from the God's people because he disappointed you? Do you really have what it takes to trust God? Will your Heavenly Father really protect you from harm, Jesus? Can you trust him? God doesn't even care for your physical needs. Look how you look right now. Do you know he will be there in your times of trouble? Folks, we will have those same kind of thoughts as we walk through life. As we walk through life. Hebrews 4, verse 15. Understand where Jesus is at. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. We have a high priest that understands what you're going through. Understands that you don't feel like there's any place for you on this earth, in your home, in your family. Understands the harshness of growing up. Understands the failures and the and all that has happened to you. He understands, yet without sin, he's there for you. Just like Jesus, your trust will be tested. Will be tested. Our testing is designed to push our faith deeper into the area of simple trust. Simple. I struggled with this one. Because we use faith and trust interchangeably, don't we? But there is a difference between biblical faith and biblical trust. Biblical faith is confident belief in something unseen based on confident hope rather than evidence. I have faith that there's a place for me called heaven. I have yet to see it. Truthfully, I'm not in a big rush to get there, but hey, that's not up to me, okay? But I've got faith in that. I've got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though I've not seen him, okay? Hebrews 11:1, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. As you're going through your struggles, you may not see how God is going to come and rescue you. You may not see what's there, but you've got faith in that, okay? Biblical trust is a firm conviction in someone or something's reliability, strength, and ability built on evidence and past experience. Trust is based upon God Almighty, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. Trust him implicitly. There is no such thing as blind faith or blind trust relating to God. It is all based upon the character of God and the Bible that he has given us. We see how he has done that. Israel should have trusted God in the wilderness based upon his miracles in Egypt. We've seen how he did things based upon and his provision while in the wilderness, but they were afraid of God. They're afraid of it. That's what they are afraid of the gods last in that time. And so they did not necessarily trust him. Peter had faith in Jesus' ability. The water. Matthew 14:27. But Jesus immediately said to them, well, they said it's a ghost, is what they said. Jesus said, No, it's me. He immediately said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied. In those words. But Peter had faith in Jesus' ability to do something that he'd never done before. Impossible. He had faith in the ability of Jesus to allow him to walk on. But his faith moved from faith to trust when he got out of the boat. He trusted Jesus to allow him to do what Jesus commanded him to do. Faith gets you out of the boat. Faith believes that God can do some things, but that trust gets you out of the boat, moving towards the one who has given you the command that you are following. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine the emotions that Peter had? Imagine when he stepped out, it's like, we'll see about this. But then he took a step. Himself doing the impossible because Jesus told him to do it. I would like to tell you that he walked all the way to Jesus, but he took his eyes off of him. When he saw the wind, when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he saw the wind, he became afraid. He wasn't afraid as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, but he saw the wind. You heard the voice of the enemy say, you can't do this. This is impossible. And he began to see, but he said, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught it. Now, these next words, I do not want you to hear a hint of harshness in them. There's not a hint there. Jesus is proud of Peter. You have a little Why did you doubt that God will be there for you? Well, I don't want to go through it. That's a different topic. Why do you doubt that he won't give you everything you need to endure that which he's called you to walk through? Don't look at the wind. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Look at the face of Jesus Christ. and trust Him. James 1, 2 through 4, the Son of the Living Bible. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience, the word faith right there, has a chance to grow into trust. So let it grow and don't try to squirm out of your problems. Anybody here try to do that? Squirm out of your problems. Use your own mentality. How can I get over this? How long do I have to do this? What can I do to get over this? He said, don't do that. For when your patience, faith is finally full, in full bloom, trust, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character and full and complete. When that faith has bloomed into trust, it doesn't matter what comes against your life, you're ready for it. Not because you're strong enough, not because you're wise enough, or you've got enough faith, it's because you trust in God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. We must mature from confident hope to bold trust, because hope alone will not get us out of the boat. Hope alone won't get us out of the boat. And because God is worthy of our trust. And because confident hope still provides a tempting ground for Satan. As long as it's just hope, he will come in there and tempt us. And how do you know? How can you prove it? And bang. But once it has become confident trust, folks, bad is over. He has lost. To offset Satan's temptation, Jesus simply and accurately quoted another Bible verse. He offset it. He didn't argue with Satan. He didn't tell him he used it wrong. Jesus didn't do that. He said, let me tell you another verse. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. It's important when developing a grasp of the entire Word of God, not just your favorite Bible verses. The whole mind of God we use, the whole Scripture of God we use, to govern our lives. Third thing, once your faith has progressed to trust, you will be able to truthfully answer the question, is God worth your trust? Your trust. There's what you got to get down to. Doesn't matter what my trust is your trust in God, is he worthy of that trust? You answer this question, and your answer to this question will determine your peace and joy in this life. If you're not sure you can trust him, folks, your peace and joy comes and goes, ebbs and flows. Look what's going on in your life. It's real hard to find fulfilling peace and joy if you don't trust God will never be there nor forsake you. Well, I hope that's right. Hope will not keep there. Keeps you in the boat. If you hesitate to accept, God will work all things out for your good. That's a promise that God has given us to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's real hard to have fulfilling peace if you hesitate. It's difficult to count it all joy when standing at a gravesite of a spouse or a child or someone that you love, and God says, do you trust me with this? Do you trust me this was the best for you? Do you just simply trust me? Or when you see divorce papers there, or you hear the word cancer, when you remember the abuse that you may have grown up with, when that addiction is screaming at you, trust me. Do you trust God? It's hard to grasp the promise, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, if you are unsure about God's trustworthiness. If you can truly answer yes to the question of God's trustworthiness, then all the promises of God bloom, become wonderful things before the events of life, even if you've never experienced them, because you simply trust. Simple trust. Hard to get there. Simple trust. All the promises of God bloom within your life and they're available. One of God's names in Scripture is El Emet. El Emet. That means the Hebrew word is trueness and faithfulness plus trustworthiness and dependability. God showed us his character through his names. He said, I am true, I am faithful, you can trust me, and I am dependable. No matter the chaos of your life. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do, or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? God will keep his promises, period. He may not keep them the way you want him to keep them, but he will keep them in your life. This simply means God does what he says. He will not change his mind. He does not alter his plan. He does not rely on him. No power alive. There is no time frame that would allow God to forget his word. God's will for your life is a move from faith to trust. Simple trust. Simple trust. It's easy to say, Lord, you are worthy of my praise. It's easy to say that. Our emotions are going. It's just a wonderful time. It's easy to do that. It's harder to say, Lord, you are worthy of my trust. And I will demonstrate that by how I live. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Anyone been leaning this week? Yeah. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Trust all your life experience to Jesus. And let him bring the joy of the Lord to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the example of Jesus. Thank you that he is worthy of our trust. Thank you that we have learned that you are all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present. You know us, and you're interceding for us, and you love us. And we are called to just simply trust you. When you say no to my life, I will trust that that is what's best for me, even though my heart may be craving it. When you say, do this, I will trust you and begin doing that, even though in my heart I'm fearful. I will just simply trust you and allow all my life events to flow through my trust for you and your trustworthiness. Father, there are those here this morning that have struggled. Things are going on in their lives, and it doesn't seem to fit anymore. The addiction may be screaming at them, and the abuse of the past may be coming back in their minds over and over, and they thought it was settled. Lord, they need your Spirit to just lead them to simple trust. Father, just like Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh that he wanted you to heal. And you told him no three times. You told him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. And may we see this morning that God's grace is sufficient for us. And we will just simply trust his grace. Now, Father, I pray that we apply your word today. Altars are open for those who need to come and just spend some time with the Father. And I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name and for his glory alone, amen.